Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We're extremely fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 23 and Verse 3. Hare Krishna Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this is
Hare Krishna.
Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading from 5th Canto, Chapter 23, Verse Number 3. Yatha Medi Sthamba Akramana Pashavaha Sanyojitastri संयोजितास्त्रिभिर् स्त्रिभिः सवणैर् यथास्थानं मण्डलानि चरन्त्येवं भगणः ग्रहादय एतस्मिन् अन्तर्बहिर्योगेन कालचक्र आयोजिता ध्रुवमेवावलम्ब्य वायुनो दीर्यमाणः आकल्पान्तं परिचङ्क्रमन्ति नभसि यथा मेघाः श्येणादयो वायुवशाः कर्मसारथयः परिवर्तन्ते एवं ज्योतिर्गणाः प्रकृतिपुरुषसंयोगानुगृहीताः कर्मनिर्मितगतयो भुवि न पतन्ति. Word to word translation. Yata, exactly like Medish Thambe to the pivot post. Akramana Pashavaha, bulls for thrashing rice. Sanyojitaha, being yoked. Tribitribi by three. Savanai, movements. Yata Sthanam, in their proper places. Mandalani, orbits. Charanti, traverse. Evam, in the same way, Bhaganaha, the luminaries like the sun, the moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars and Jupiter, Graha Adayaha, the different planets, Yetasmin, in this, Anta Bahi Yogena, by connection with the inner or outer circles, Kala Chakre, in the wheel of eternal time, Ayojita, fixed, Dhruvam, Dhruvaloka, Eva, certainly, Avalambya, taking support of, Vayuna, by the wind, Udiryamana, being propelled, Akalpantam, until the end of the creation, Parichan, Kramanti, revolve all around, Nabasi, in the sky, Yatha, exactly like Mega, heavy clouds, Shena Adaya, birds such as the big eagle, Vayu Vasha, controlled by the air, Karma Sarataya, whose chariot drivers are the results of their own past activities, Parivartante, move around, Evam, in this way, Jyoti Gana, the luminaries, the planets and stars in the sky, Prakriti of material nature, Purusha under the Supreme Personality Krishna, Sanyoga Anugrihita, supported by the combined efforts, Karma Nirmita, caused by their own past fruitive activities, Gatayaha, whose movements, Bhuvi on the ground, Na, not, Patanti, fall down. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, the Prabhupada. Translation. When the bulls are yoked together and tied to a central post to thrash rice, they tread around that pivot without deviating from their proper positions. One bull being closest to the post, another in the middle, and a third on the outside. Similarly, all the planets and all the hundreds and thousands of stars revolve around the pole star, the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, in their respective orbits, some higher and some lower, fastened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the machine of material nature. According to the results of their fruitive acts, they are driven around the pole star by the wind and will continue to be so until the end of creation. These planets float in the air within the vast sky, just as clouds with hundreds of tons of water float in the air, or as the great Shena eagles, due to the results of past activities, fly high in the sky and have no chance of falling to the ground. Purport. According to the description of this verse, the hundreds and thousands of stars and the great planets such as the Sun, the Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars and Jupiter are not clustered together because of the law of gravity or any similar idea of the modern scientists. These planets and stars are all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda or Krishna. And according to his order, they sit in their chariots and travel in the respective orbits. The orbits in which they move are compared to the machines given by material nature to the operating deities of the stars and planets, who carry out the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revolving around Dhruvaloka, which is occupied by the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Yat Chakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahana Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja Yasyangaya Brahmati Sam Britakala Chakro Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all the planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. This verse from Brahma Samhita confirms that even the largest and most powerful planet, the sun, rotates within a fixed orbit or Kala Chakra in obedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has nothing to do with the gravity or any other imaginary laws created by the material scientists. Material scientists want to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they imagine different conditions under which they suppose the planets move. The only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of God. All the various predominating deities of the planets are persons, and the Supreme Personality of God is also a person. The Supreme Personality orders the subordinate persons, the demigods of various names, to carry out his supreme will. This fact is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyatesa sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. The orbits of the planets resemble the bodies in which all living entities are seated, because they are both machines controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The machine given by material nature, whether the machine of the body or the machine of the orbit or Kala Chakra, works according to the orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature work together to maintain this great universe, And not only this universe, but also the millions of other universes beyond this one. The question of how the planets and stars are floating is also answered in this verse. It is not because of the laws of gravity. Rather, the planets and stars are enabled to float by manipulations of the air. It is due to such manipulations that big heavy clouds float and big eagles fly in the sky. Modern airplanes like the 747 jet aircraft work in a similar way. By controlling the air, they float high in the sky, resisting the tendency to fall to earth. Such adjustments of the air are all made possible by the cooperation of the principles of Purusha and Prakriti. By the cooperation of material nature, which is considered to be Prakriti, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is considered the Purusha, all the affairs of the universe are going on nicely in their proper order. Prakriti, material nature, is also described in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Bibarti Durga Ichchanurupamapi Yasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The external potency, Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all the people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this material world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts himself. Material nature, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, is also known as Durga, or the female energy that protects the great fort of this universe. The word Durga also means a fort. This universe is just like a great fort in which all the conditioned souls are kept, and they cannot leave it unless they are liberated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself declares in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha Kyakva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, simply by Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be liberated. Or in other words, one can be released from the great fort of this universe and go outside it to the spiritual world. It is also significant that the predominating deities of even the greatest planets have been offered their exalted posts because of the very valuable pious activities they performed in the previous births. This is indicated herein by the words karma nirmita gatayaha. For example, as we have previously discussed, the moon is called Jiva, which means that he is a living entity like us. But because of his pious activities, he has been appointed to his post as the moon god. Similarly, all the demigods are living entities who have been appointed to their various posts as the masters of the moon, the earth, Venus, and so on, because of their great service and pious acts. Only the predominating deity of the sun, Surya Narayana, is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Dhruva, the predominating deity of Dhruvaloka, is also a living entity. Thus, there are two kinds of living entities, the supreme entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the ordinary living entity, the Jiva. All the demigods are engaged in the service of the Lord, and only by such an arrangement are the affairs of the universe going on. Regarding the great eagles mentioned in this verse, it is understood that there are eagles. That there are eagles so big that they can prey on big elephants. They fly so high that they can travel from one planet to another. They start flying in one planet and land in another. And while in flight, they lay eggs that hatch into other birds while falling through the air. In Sanskrit, such eagles are called Shena. Under the present circumstances, of course, we cannot see such huge birds, but at least we know of eagles that can capture monkeys and then throw them down to kill and eat them. Similarly, it is understood that there are gigantic birds that can carry off elephants, kill them and eat them. The two examples of the eagle and the cloud are sufficient to prove that flying and floating can be made possible through adjustments of the air. The planets, in a similar way, are floating because material nature adjusts the air according to the orders of the Supreme Lord. It could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity. But in any case, one must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists have no control over them. The scientists can falsely, improperly declare that there is no God, but this is not a fact. Hare Krishna. Quite actually detailed purport. I don't know what points to. There are so many points written by Prabhupada in the purport. It's difficult to do justice to all the points, but I'll just cover some points in the next half an hour or so. So we are reading this 23rd chapter of the Sishumara planetary system. The how all the planets are actually moving around the Dhruvaloka, and the whole arrangement of the planets, it appears like an inverted dolphin. Inverted dolphin. It's also like a chandelier kind of this thing. You can see the picture. So here it's explained that sometimes, suppose how many of you have experienced, I don't know, but like suppose in your childhood, if you had seen how they would extract oil, is that like the bulls would go around that particular pole, and then through that, the oil seeds would be crushed, and then the oil would be extracted. So the bulls would, they are tied to a central post, and then they actually move around that post. So this analogy is given. Yatha medi shtamba akramana pashavaha. So just like the bulls are moving around that post, there are three bulls are the middle, central, and then the outside bull. So similarly, all the planets are moving around in the respective orbits till the end of the kalpa, propelled by the wind. So Prabhupada, one point which he emphasizes repeatedly in the purport is that the planets are not moving because of the, not situated because of the law of gravity. They are not moving because of the law of gravity, but they are, all these planets are, they are servants of the Supreme Lord, and they are moving according to the order of the Supreme Lord. They are moving propelled by the wind. And ultimately, the wind is under the control of the material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Lord. So one point which Prabhupada says is that how the planets are moving according to the order of the Supreme Lord. For that, he quotes verses from the Brahma Samhita. यच्चक्षुरेश सविता सकल ग्रहाणां राजा समस्त सुरमूर्ति रसेश तेज यस्य आज्ञया भ्रमति द ब्रह्म संहिता इट इज वेरी एक्सप्लिसिटली मेंशन यस्य आज्ञया भ्रमति संवृत काल चक्रो गोविंदम आदि पुरुषम तमकम भजामि द सन हु इज द आई ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड is actually moving under the order of the Supreme Lord. Raja Samasta Sura Murti Rashesha Teja. The sun is the king of all the planets, but the sun is moving in the Kala Chakra under the order of the Supreme Lord. So this point is mentioned because when we see the scientists, they come up with different theories. Some scientists previously, say some centuries back, many of the scientists were actually thieves. They were actually, they were God-fearing. But as the materialism started increasing, some scientists, they came up with the idea that okay, there is a God who exists, who created this world. But after creating the world, he is not in control of the world. There is a God who created the world, but he is no more in control of the world. Because if the God were in control of the world, then why there is so much of evil in this world? So therefore, then they said that, God is a creator but not the controller of the world. Like that, they came up with this is like a half-trusting God, who was created but he is not controlling. Or they came up with other theories that there is a God, but there is also the evil or a Satan. Satan is also there. And there is always a competition between God and this Satan or evil. Sometimes the God wins, sometimes the Satan wins. When the Satan wins, there are so many miseries in this world. When the God wins, there is some happiness. So they try to create a Satan who is like almost equal to God. They came up with this kind of theories. Or they say, the God created this world, he made the laws, but is no more, the world is operating according to the laws mechanically and the Lord is no more in control. And then when the scientists became more atheistic, even they came up with the idea that there is nobody who created this world. And the world was created according to the Big Bang theory by chance or by Darwin's theory of evolution. So in that way, various people, they came up with different shades of atheistic theories. They try to explain everything using the laws, but they don't recognize the lawmaker. So this one point Prabhupada explains that how the planets are moving according to the order of the Supreme Lord. And another thing we see is that the planets are moving around the Dhruva Loka. And Krishna has made Dhruva Maharaj to be the ruler of the Dhruva Loka. That means Krishna has made all the planets to move under the control of the Dhruva Loka, under the control of Dhruva Maharaj. He has made all the planets, including the Kala Chakra, the entire world is controlled by the Kala Chakra. But even that Kala Chakra is acting under the control of Dhruva Maharaj. He has put the time factor in the control of Dhruva Maharaj. So this shows actually what position he gave to Dhruva Maharaj. Like, this shows how much the Krishna, Lord, trusted Dhruva Maharaj that he gave such an important position. We see in the ఏదన్న చరితామృత లైక్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ పీపుల్ ఐ ఆల్సో వాంట్ టు డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ దట్ టాపిక్ లైక్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ పీపుల్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఇమ్మెచ్యూర్ డివోటీస్ ఆర్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ చీప్ రిసైటర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది భాగవతం దే డైరెక్ట్లీ జంప్ ఇన్ టు ద రాధాకృష్ణ పాస్టైమ్స్ బట్ ఇన్ చైతన్య చరితామృత వి సీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు హు ఇస్ కృష్ణ అండ్ గదాధర్ పండిట్ హు ఇస్ శ్రీమతి రాధారాణి దే వుడ్ డిస్కస్ ద స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ హండ్రెడ్స్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్స్ బిఫోర్ దే వుడ్ గో టు ద నెక్స్ట్ స్టోరీ సో రాధా అండ్ కృష్ణ దే డిస్కస్ ద స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ దర్ డివోటీ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ బట్ వెర్ యాజ్ పీపుల్ they directly want to jump to the Radha Krishna pastimes while ignoring the story about the Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was such a personality. Once Narada Muni came to the assembly of the Prachetas and Narada Muni sang the glories of Dhruva Maharaj in the assembly of the Prachetas. Narada Muni is the guru of Dhruva Maharaj. But Narada Muni took pleasure in speaking about the glories of Dhruva Maharaj much later. Like sometimes when you are in the presence of somebody, you tend to speak good about that person. You show respect to that person. But the moment the person disappears, we may speak ill of that person. We may speak faults of that person. But Narada Muni was so captivated with the devotion of Dhruva Maharaj, even after many years after the disappearance of Dhruva Maharaj, he would sing about the glories of Dhruva Maharaj in the assembly of the Prachetas. Narada Muni, he went to actually show mercy to King Prachina Parikshit. For what reason? Because he felt that how can a king who is a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj be absorbed in the activities of Karmakanda sacrifices. So because of Prachina Parikshit's connection to Dhruva Maharaj, that impelled Narada Muni to show mercy to Prachina Parikshit. So this is how both Narada Muni and the Supreme Lord, how much they respected Dhruva Maharaj. And here all the planets are moving around Dhruva Loka. Dhruva Maharaj is in charge of the planet. And another point, Prabhupada says that all the predominating deities of the planets are persons. And there is a predominating deity for each planet. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose order all the planets are moving, he is also a person. So this is also another point Prabhupada points out that the demigods are various. So we see in this world, behind everything, there is a personality behind everything. For example, there was when Lord Ram was leaving Ayodhya, he started addressing the city of Ayodhya. There is a verses in Ramayana where he would say, "Oh Ayodhya, Ayodhya Puri." That means like he considered the city of Ayodhya as a person. He spoke those verses. One devotee was sharing in one of the initiation function. Radhana Swami Maharaj previously, like he would participate in the yajna also. The yajna would take place in the temple hall, Radha Gopina temple. And he would personally participate in the yajna for many hours. So one of the devotees was assisting him. He would make arrangements and then he would offer the ghee to the yajna, to the Agni Kunda. Then he said, once Maharaj told that, oh, feed the Agni. Feed the fire. So he was amazed that feed the fire Maharaj was telling in a personal way, considering the fire as a person, Maharaj was telling that feed the fire. It's not simply, because when you see something as a thing, when you see something as a just an object, you may say that put ghee into the fire. Instead of saying put ghee or pour ghee into the fire, Maharaj said that feed the fire. That means he was considering the Agni as a person. So behind everything, there is a personality. That point is also highlighted here. And also, there is another beautiful verse in the third canto. Just 1 minute. Yeah, there is in the third canto, there is a chapter. Which talks about actually the different divisions of time. So in this chapter about the different divisions of time, after describing the different divisions of time, starting from the minute time, he starting from the Paramanu time. Paramanu is the smallest particle of matter, and Parama Mahan is the greatest state of matter. So just as the matter has fine and huge states, similarly, time can also be understood in such a divisions. So there is a Parama Anu time, that is the smallest time, and the Parama Mahan time, that is the highest denomination of time. Just like we have, say, currently, say, in Indian rupees, there is 1 rupee. Or we can say 50 paisa is the 50 paisa. I don't know whether it is there currently. Say 1 rupee is the smallest denomination of the rupee, and 2000 is the highest denomination. Similarly, in the time, Parama Anu time is the smallest denomination of the time, and Parama Mahan time is the highest denomination of time. So, and Maitreya Rishi describes in great detail. Starting from the Paramanu time, and then he describes the Truti, Veda, Lava, Nimesha, Kshana, Kashta, Lagu, Danda, like that he describes in great details. And then he comes to what is one Yuga, year, what is a Yuga, what is the time duration of a Devata. So all these things he describes, and then finally at the conclusion of the whole, it's a very technical chapter about the description of the time factor. And then at the end he says that evam vidair ahoratrai kala gatyopalakshitai apakshitam ivasyapi paramayur vayashatam. By such days and nights characterized by the movement of time, even the maximum life of Brahma consisting of 100 years comes to an end. And 1/2 of Brahma's life is called Parardha. And then Maitreya Rishi says that the first half, that is the first Parardha, first half of Brahma's life has passed. And the second Parardha has begun at present. That means we are in the 51st year of Lord Brahma. And then Maitreya Rishi says that Kaloyam Viparardhatyo Nimesha Upacharyate Avyakritasya Anantasya Hyanadir Jagadatmanaha. So the span of 2 parardhas is represented by a moment of time for the Supreme Lord, who is beyond change and without end or beginning and the cause of the universe. Kaloyam paramanvadir viparardhanta ishvaraha naiveshitum prabhur bhumna ishvaro dhamamanina. So time is the controller. Right from the duration of a paramanu to Brahma's complete life of 2 parardhas. But this time, na eva ishitum, the time cannot control the Supreme Lord. The time cannot control the Supreme Lord. The time is under the control of the Lord. So in that way, that whole chapter, having described the starting from the Paramanu time to the Parama Mahan time, finally he says that time controls everyone, including Brahma's complete life. The time cannot control the Supreme Lord. And now here, coming back to the here fifth canto in this chapter, here it is described that time factor is put under the control of the Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is in charge, under his control the Kala Chakra is operating. So that means Krishna has placed his devotee Dhruva Maharaj in a higher position than the time factor, which controls the entire whole Brahmanda. So this shows the importance of Dhruva Maharaj. So in this chapter, what Prabhupada again and again explains is that how the Krishna is the supreme controller, all the planets are working under the supreme will. Maya dyakshena prakritihi suyate sa charachara. So all the planets are working under the prakriti, and that prakriti is under the control of the supreme will. The material nature is working under my direction. So, but you may not see the Supreme Lord who is behind the Prakriti. Like in this world, suppose when you see a big event happening and you also see somebody who is trying to supervise the event, whether the event is happening properly, whether the prasadam serving is going on properly. Generally, we see a manager visibly who is trying to manage, to see things that everything is going on smoothly. But in the material world, although the scriptures say that there are personalities behind the different departments in the universe, and ultimately all these planets are working under the control of the Supreme Lord, but we don't see those personalities. So because of that, people feel that, oh, there are no controllers. Everything is happening automatically. No, that is because it is so well managed. The best manager is that person who manages so well by being invisible. By being invisible, he is not seen to be in the open, but everything is being managed so well. That is the best manager. So it shows that how Krishna is the best manager, and even the different devatas who are working under him, they are also best, they are so well efficient managers that without visibly seeing them, without being, although we don't see them visibly, but they are doing their work so perfectly. So the Supreme Lord and the material nature work together to maintain this great universe. And not only this universe, but also the millions of other universes beyond this one. So in this fifth canto, in this just a sample prototype description of one universe is being given. And this universe is considered to be the smallest universe. But there are millions of universes like this, and they are also being managed by the Lord. And also, like when we see this, actually, this in the fifth canto, in this section, especially from the 16th chapter onwards, the description of this Bhumandala. So sometimes we may wonder, like, what is the need of such a description? It is so dry, actually, with the details of so many dimensions. So it is explained in the second canto, 7th chapter, Brahmaji tells to Narada Muni, Mayam Varunayato Mushya Ishwarasya Anumodataha Shinvata Shraddaya Nityam Mayayatma Namukhyati. If the living entity constantly describes the material energy in relation to the Lord and remembers Maya or hears about Maya with proper faith, then he will not be bewildered by Maya. Na mukhyati. So sometimes one may wonder, why not directly hear about actually the pastimes of the Lord in his different Leela Avataras? Why not directly hear the pastimes of Krishna? Why should we hear the pastimes of the Purusha Avataras? And the Purusha Avataras pastimes are pastimes of the Lord in relation to the Maya Shakti. So why should we hear these pastimes? So this particular verse, the second canto, seventh chapter, describes this. How when a person describes Maya, remembers Maya, hears about Maya, he will not be bewildered by Maya. So the description of the Maya, description of the Purushavatara's pastimes in relation to Maya is an assistance to the process of hearing, chanting, remembering about the pastimes of the other forms of the Lord. Therefore, the descriptions of the Purushavatara pastimes is also bhakti. So do not think that, oh, these pastimes, this description of the universal form, the pastimes of the Purushavataras, for these topics are not part of bhakti. No, these pastimes are also bhakti because they are assistance to the process of the hearing, chanting, and remembering the other pastimes of the Lord. So one should have faith that even the Maya Shakti of the Lord, along with her expansion as the Mahatattva and other elements, is a devotee with the greatest devotion. So Maya Shakti is a devotee, and the different elements, the Mahatattva and the different elements, they are also devotees. The third canto, chapter, I think, 5, if I remember properly, 5 or 6. The predominating deities of the different elements, they offered fascinating prayers to the Lord. And those prayers are so profound, so devotional prayers. That means all these elements are also devotees. So therefore, when we hear the pastimes of the Purushavataras in relation to these elements, which are also devotees, so these topics are also part of bhakti. And Prabhupada, when we read this purport, the second canto, seventh chapter, he writes very profound purport. How there are cheap reciters of the Bhagavatam and the pseudo devotees of the Bhagavatam, both of them directly want to jump into the, say, Radha Krishna pastimes, the Rasa Leela. So some pseudo devotees think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means that one should hear about the Radha Krishna pastimes. And they have nothing to do with the, and they think that, and these people, they will never read about the pastimes of the Purushavataras. But the pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the Rasa Leela pastimes and the pastimes of the Purushavataras. That is why in one purport, Prabhupada says that the pastimes of the Purushavataras, the pure devotees, they consider the, they don't find any difference between Krishna's pastimes of creation, that is the pastimes of the Purushavataras, and Krishna kissing the gopis. So that is the pure devotees, they see both. But in the case of the we conditioned souls, we are practicing devotees, we have to begin with the creation pastimes of the Lord. So that is where Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the beginning cantos, we find repeated mention of the creation pastimes. Second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, repeatedly the creation pastimes come. Because that is required for a devotee, for required to prepare a person's consciousness to actually receive the higher pastimes of the Lord. And even at the end of this fifth canto, almost at the end of the 26th chapter, Shukadev Goswami gives the Phalastuti of hearing about the universal form of the Lord. Nivritti Lakshana Marga Adaveva Vyakhyataha. So he says that in the beginning, the second and third canto, I have already described about the path of Nivritti Marga, how a person can progress on the path of liberation. And Yetavan Yeva Andakosho Yas Chaturdashada Puraneshu Vikalpita Upagiyate. And in the Puranas, the universe divided into 14 parts is described as the grass body of the Supreme Lord Narayana, Stavishtam Rupam, which is made of the material Maya, Atma Maya Gunamayam. So the universal form is the grass body of the Lord. It is a material form of the Lord. It is made of the material energy of the Lord. And then he says that Anuvarnitam Adrita. If a person reads the description of the universal form with great faith, Adrita, with great respect, with faith, Patati, if a person Shunoti, if a person reads or hears it, or Shravayati, if a person hears, describes it to others, then what will happen? Sa upageyam bhagavata paramatmano grahayam api shraddha bhakti vishuddha bhakti buddhir veda. 1 minute. It says that Shraddha Bhaktir Vishuddha Buddhir Veda. The person, the Phalastuti of hearing this creation pastimes universal form is that a person will develop a very mature faith, and a person will develop a genuine devotion, bhakti, and he will develop actually purified intelligence. Very refined, fine intelligence. And upageyam bhagavata paramatmano. And one will develop the qualification to understand the topics of the Supreme Lord, which is like an Upanishad, difficult to understand. Upageyam bhagavata paramatmano. So, this is another verse. And then, even the second canto, another purport, the 10th chapter, 10th verse. Vishnu Chakvatipad, he raises a question. Because if you see the second canto, the first chapter, universal form description came. And then again in the fifth chapter, universal form description came. Fifth, sixth chapter. Again, in the 10th chapter, again, the universal form description came. So, again and again, the universal form description comes. So, therefore, Vishnu Chakvatipat, he is taking pity on the readers. Because the second canto, repeatedly, it is coming. Again, and then third chapter, in the third canto, we see in the fifth chapter, sixth chapter, universal form description comes. And then, again, when you see 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, different aspects of creation comes. How the Brahmaji performed the creation. And then in the 20th chapter, again, there is a topic of creation. And then the Kapila Dev Samkhya Yoga, the 26th chapter, again, there is a universal form. So we find that this is coming again and again, second canto, third canto. So, Vishnu Chakvatipat, he is asking, he is raising a question. A reader may ask a question. So, why do you always speak about the universal form? And why do you always speak about the Paramatma? That means about the Purushavataras. Why is there so little sweet discussion about the qualities and forms of the Leela avatars? Why you are again and again describing about the Purusha avatars? Why you describe so little about the Leelavatars? So for that, Vishnu Chakotipad answers, who are the people who can relish the pastimes of the Leelavataras? He says, those who have perfected bhakti or the Nitya Siddhas, they constantly play spontaneously in the sweet ocean of the Lord's beauty and pastimes. But those people who are sleeping on the bed of the bliss of sense pleasure, that means those who are sleeping on the bed of sense gratification, and those who have fainted in the waves of the suffering arising from fruitive activities, such people cannot be woken up by the pastimes of the Leelavataras. Because when these people who are sleeping on the bed of sense gratification and who are fainted from the waves of suffering from fruitive activities, when they hear about the pastimes of the Leelavataras, and they may see those pastimes according to their own level, according to their own material perception. They may see from their own material point of view, considering those pastimes to be ordinary. So these people cannot be woken up from their slumber by speaking about the pastimes of the Leelavataras. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, being very merciful, thinking about how to elevate even these people who are actually sleeping on the bed of sense gratification, how to elevate them, what sort of instructions to be given to them, and so that they can be made into a sadhaka bhakta. They can become steady in the sadhana bhakti. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, being merciful, it is trying to elevate them through the description of the universal form and through the description of the pastimes of the Purushavataras. It is said that sometimes when a thorn has entered into a person's leg, it is said you take another thorn and remove that thorn. Or sometimes when a person has got a boil in his body, some homeopathic medicines, when you take, the boil increases more. And then you may wonder that, is the medicine helping me or is it increasing the disease? But by increasing the boil, the boil will get actually burst out, and in that way it will cure the boil. So many times the cure of the particular disease is also made of the same substance which caused the infection. Or certain medicines, it is said that sometimes when a particular limb of the body is burnt by the fire, and that limb is given relief by the fire. I don't know how it is, but the example is there. It seems previously there is some methodology was there. And sometimes a person who is haunted by a ghost is revived by a ghost mantra. So similarly, the living entities who are absorbed in the bed of sense gratification, they can only be woken up by the topics of the Supreme Lord in relation to the Maya. That means the pastimes of the Purushavataras. They can only be woken up by the pastimes of the Lord in relation to the Maya, or they can be woken up by the description of the universal form. So with that in mind, Bhagavatam is repeatedly describing these topics in the second canto, third canto, fourth, fifth canto. And then Vishnu Chakotipad says that even though by the shower of the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord, obtained by the mercy of a devotee, the person sleeping in the happiness of Maya or fainting in the suffering of the fruitive activities wakes up. And even though he becomes drenched by the pastimes of the Leela Avataras. And even though one becomes revitalized and dances and rejoices blissfully, only those who obtain that great mercy become successful and not others. So, only those who obtain that great mercy become successful and not others. So, therefore, that this repeated discussion of the Paramatma Vishwarupa is there to elevate, is there to wake up the sleeping conditioned souls. So, the low living entities desiring to cross the material world and have developed a determination to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Guru can be delivered by constantly hearing about the Paramatma. So, therefore, there is repeated discussion of the Paramatma. And those who are faithful devotees of the Lord will relish the nectar of the whole Bhagavatam. So, one may say, okay, what about those devotees who are already advanced? So, will they not relish these pastimes of the Purushavataras? Maybe they will directly jump into 6th canto, 7th canto, 8th canto, one may think like that. So, Vishnu Chakatipat clarifies, you know, those who are faithful devotees will relish the nectar of the whole of the Bhagavatam. The nectar of the whole of the Bhagavatam. So, therefore, we find this there's a description of this. Even in the Isopanishad, it is mentioned that Sambhutimcha Vinashamcha Yastat Vedo Vayam Saha Vinashena Mrityum Tirtva Sambhutyamrutam Ashnute. One should know perfectly the personality of God as Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation, that's temporary demigods, men and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And then in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, these pastimes, when we read the description of this, all these planets, so we can understand how great is the Supreme Lord. And we also understand how insignificant we are. So if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam in the beginning cantos, creation is described repeatedly. And towards the end of the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, the annihilation is described. Nirodha is one of the topic of, is the topic of annihilation. The four types of pralaya is described. Atyantika pralaya, Naimittika pralaya, Prakritika pralaya. So four types of pralaya are described. So when you hear these topics, when you hear the topics of creation, you understand how great is the Supreme Lord. When you understand the topics of annihilation, you understand how insignificant you are. Because the topics of annihilation, pralaya, it shows that the living entity's disappearance from this world, or he leaving this body, is such an insignificant event. You can get that perception. So sometimes we think that without me, things will not go on. A dying person who is attached to different designations, he thinks that, without me, how will this work go on? How will that work go on? We are attached to our identities. But the topics of annihilation, it gives a feeling that how we are so insignificant. And topics of creation, it shows how the Lord is so great. So Shukadeva Goswami, he starts from the creation pastimes and then he gradually builds up the Bhagavatam. He describes the topics of different Leela Avataras, and then he describes the, he comes to pastimes of Krishna, and then he takes the pinnacle of Krishna Leela, Rasa Panchadhyaya. He describes other pastimes of Krishna. And then at the end, he describes the annihilation pastimes. He starts from gradually and then he takes it to the great height. And then again, towards the end of the Bhagavatam, he brings back to the basics. That is why in the 12th canto, he describes about the different dynasties of the kings, how the kings... great kings, they also died in this world. Nobody is remembering them. And he described the different types of pralaya. So that is how from the basics, he takes the height of the topics and again he comes back to the basics. So that is the nature of an expert teacher. Expert teacher gradually develops the theme, takes it to the higher and higher topics, and at the same time he also comes back to the basics. Because sometimes when you go to the higher and higher topics, we may think that I'm already qualified. We may forget that still I'm not at that level. Sorry. We may forget that I still have to work on certain basic things, like I am not the body, I am the soul. So therefore the expert teacher again brings back to the topics of you are not the body, you are the soul. In that way Shukadeva Goswami describes about the annihilation pastimes toward the end. And we see again in this particular chapter how the Lord's affection for the devotees, that he has made all the planets to work under Dhruva Maharaj. So there is a beautiful, it's a great Vaishnava in the Sri Sampradaya, Vedanta Desika. Vedanta Desika is such a great Vaishnava that he wrote so many works. Something like 29 or 30, that many books he wrote. And he composed so many poems actually, so many, he was a great poet. And one of his magnum, two of his magnum opus works are Yadavabhyudayam and Paduka Sahasram. Yadavabhyudayam is the book he wrote about the Krishna Leela. It contains some 2400 shlokas. And another magnum opus work is the Paduka Sahasram. Paduka Sahasram, in that, there was a scholar who actually came to challenge Vedanta Desika. And he challenged Vedanta Desika to write a book. The exact challenge is it's not described, but he challenged Vedanta Desika. In order to defeat that scholar, Vedanta Desika, he wrote 1,000 shlokas on the Paduka of the Lord, the sandals of the Lord, just in one night. Just in one night. In fact, not even one night, he composed 1,000 shlokas in 1.5 hours. One Acharya gives an example. He says that Lord Ram, he actually defeated the army of Kara and Dushana, and he killed the 14,000 soldiers in just in 1.5 hours. And then imitating Lord Ram, when Hanumanji went to find Sita, and Hanumanji actually, after locating Sita, he fought with the Ravana's army. And just like Lord Ram defeated the Shurpanaka and Karadushan and his army in 1.5 hours, Hanumanji, sometimes a great devotee, they also imitate the Lord. Sometimes imitation is also done. But they accept they are the servants of the Lord. So Hanumanji also defeated the Ravana army in 1.5 hours. And following the footsteps of Hanuman, Vedanta Desika, he wrote this Paduka Sahasram in 1.5 hours. And many poets, they became envious of Vedanta Desika. So once some scholars did was that they made a garland of old chapels and then they hung on the door of his house. And Vedanta Desika, he came out of the door, he came out of the house, and then his body touched that garland of the chapels. Then spontaneously, he composed a shloka. Jnanavalambaka kechit, kechit karmavalambakaha, vayam tu haridasanam padatrana avalambakaha. What is the meaning of the shloka? This particular shloka is special, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would chant this shloka often. So, Jnanavalambaka kechit. So, some people they follow the path of jnana marga. And kechit karmavalambaka. Some people, they follow the path of fruitive activities. But vayam tu haridasanam padatranavalambaka. But we, what path we follow? We take shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Haridasas. We want to be the servant of the devotees. And by taking shelter of the servant of the devotees, and that is the path we want to follow. Because he considered those chapels, when he touched those old chapels, he considered that to be like the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. And then he felt, oh, this is the, I want to take shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of our devotees. So Vedanta Desika, although he composed 1,000 shlokas, just in 1.5 hours, this is the humility he had, and that is the that is how he considered himself to be like the servant of the devotees, how he wants to take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. And that in this particular chapter also actually highlights this, how the Lord has made the all the planets, including the Kala Chakra, subordinate to his devotee Dhruva Maharaj. So therefore, one who actually becomes the servant of such a devotee, that is the easiest way to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada also, just like Vedanta Desika spontaneously composed the shloka. Once Prabhupada was asked that in Germany, when Prabhupada was describing about the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmanas are first class, Kshatriya is the second class, like that. Then one person, he immediately got up and asked Prabhupada, so do you think that you are the first class? Like that, he sort of asked Prabhupada in a challenging mood. And Prabhupada said that, actually, he spontaneously said that I belong to the fifth class and the servant of all the four classes. Similarly, here, Vedanta Desika, in a spontaneous mood of humility, he composed a shloka that we are just servants of the Haridasas. And so here in this particular chapter, that Haridasa Dhruva Maharaj is given the highest position, and these are some points which I could think. So I'll stop here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Nano Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu. Very beautiful class. When Parpat is small, speaker does not know what to speak. When Srila Prabhupada gave us such a long purport, of course, he said, you will do justice and you did a beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the pastime of Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, the fire. That was such a beautiful thing. That was I really loved that. And thank you for sharing Vedanta Deshika pastimes. It's such a beautiful thing. We are glorifying other sampradayas too, which is always a good thing. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Dear devotees, if anybody has any questions, comments, realizations, please go ahead, unmute yourself or raise your hand.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a very nice class and explaining these aspects. Probably one question, like here we see two aspects, right, Prabhu? One is where the grahas are maintained by the devatas. And one more we are seeing, and they are maintained according to their higher power authority, their karma also. But again, one thing we are seeing is they are being maintained by Dhruva Maharaj also, right? So that's what I'm trying to understand, Prabhu. What does it mean, like Dhruva Maharaj is maintaining or controlling them, because they are there in that position to maintain and control that graha, right, Prabhu?
Yeah, that's also another point Prabhupada comments in the purport and highlight. Prabhupada says that all the planets, the presiding deities of all the planets, they are all actually different living entities. And they have got that particular position according to their pious karma. Brahma Samhita, again the verse that says that Yastvindra Gopam Atavendra Mahoswa Karma Vandanu Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Right from Indra to the Indra Gopa, everyone is actually living in this world according to their karma. By taking shelter of Govinda, the karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhaja. By bhakti to Govinda, the karmas can be completely destroyed. So here, regarding your question, that all the different presiding deities of the planets, they are actually working according to their karma, according to their pious, this one. But at the same time, what is highlighted here is that Dhruva Maharaj is given the position in which he is the in charge of all the presiding deities of all the planets. Like all the presiding deities of the planets are put under the supervision of Dhruva Maharaj. So that is the position given to Dhruva Maharaj. That is what is highlighted. How the devotee is given the highest position. And this point, these people have got the presiding deities have got the position according to their pious karma, and they are working under the supervision of Dhruva Maharaj. When they are playing that role, the reporting authority is like Dhruva Maharaj. They are going around Dhruva Maharaj. Because circumambulation is considered as a very highest act of devotion. One of the item of bhakti is parikrama. It is considered as a very highest act of devotion. The essence of circumambulation is what? The essence of circumambulation is not simply the physical ritual of circumambulation, but the heart of circumambulation is that we put Krishna in the center of our lifestyle. We may physically circumambulate the Krishna deity, but the heart of circumambulation is that we bring Krishna at the center of our lifestyle, every aspect of our life, and then lead the life based on that. So circumambulation is the highest act of devotion. These people are made to circumambulate Dhruva Maharaj. That shows Dhruva Maharaj's topmost position above all these planets. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Sureshwar Prabhu, for the question. Thank you, Prabhu, for the beautiful answer. Certainly should put Krishna in the center of our lives. And I loved your point of reading Bhagavatam from 5th canto, 10th canto. It is just so beautiful to be in any Bhagavatam class, non depending what canto it is. It's just so relishing hearing it with devotees. It's just, as Prabhupada said, it's a gulab jamun. You eat from either side, or it's just beautiful. It's just amazing. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, any other questions or comments? It's more of a technical chapter, so. Dear devotees, any other questions? Otherwise, we can pay our obeisances to Prabhuji.
Hare
Krishna. Dear devotees, let us. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your time and your service, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. Your classes are always beautiful and amazing, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Bhagavatam ki
jai.
जगत गुरु शीला प्रभुपाद जी की
जय
डिस्ग्रेस राधिका वल्लभ प्रभु की जय
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु
थैंक यू प्रभु जी हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु